You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. It's time for our weekly chat with National Party MP Dr. Shane Letty.
This week for our weekly catch-up with Dr. Shane Letty, we discussed how policy aimed at Māori will be affected under National's coalition agreements with ACT and New Zealand First. During our discussion, we touched on the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People and He Pōpō, both of which have been scrapped under coalition agreements. We also touched on the ACT Party's Treaty Principles Bill, which the National Party has agreed to support to the select committee stage. To finish our interview, I asked Dr. Letty to clarify claims made by the Prime Minister and Senior Minister Chris Bishop. During an interview with Q&A, Chris Bishop made the claim that under Labour's smoke-free 2025 plan, there would only be one tobacco retailer in the entirety of Northland, potentially making that retailer a magnet for crime. According to the plans laid out by the Director General, there would have been not one but 35 retailers able to sell tobacco across Northland. I followed this up with a question about the potential new vaping regulations. Our interview began with a question regarding the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People.
So those are really questions you need to raise New Zealand First, but our understanding was on the day of signing that it was non-binding on the country. But the specifics of that, seeing it was put in the agreement by New Zealand First, are questions for them, but that is my understanding.
Yeah, and I guess a follow-up to that question is that we joined in 2010. It was originally voted on in 2007. Has it had any legally binding effect? And I know that was put into the coalition by New Zealand First, but it was agreed upon by the National Party as well, so you're also a partnership in that. So has it ever had any legally binding effect in New Zealand? Are we under certain obligations to meet under that?
Considering it was non-binding at its signing, I'm not aware of any legally binding obligations that have fallen out of that.
I want to move on now to He Pōpō, which came up during the election cycle and was kind of raised by the previous National Party leader, Judith Collins. And in that same coalition agreement with New Zealand First that the National Party signed, it was one of the agreements was to stop all work on He Pōpō. I'm interested why that was a specific agreement that was agreed upon.
I'm not going to discuss what happened in coalition discussions, but we had expressed concern. Most of the coalition parties had expressed concerns leading up to the election around He Pōpō, not the least of which was around transparency, and that this to some degree was done outside of the public eye and visibility and ability to collaborate and communicate, and that was a significant concern for something that may have constitutional implications.
Has any work actually been done on He Pōpō?
Oh, that's something to ask the previous government. I am not aware of it other than discussion documents and briefings, but this was in the hands of the previous government.
What specific parts of the report were, I guess, the most important and the parts of the report that you didn't agree with or your party didn't agree with that meant that it had to be a specific statement in your coalition agreement with New Zealand First?
It was several things. It was the overall tone, plus also, as I mentioned, the apparent failure to collaborate, share, to throw sunlight and take New Zealanders into a discussion around this document. There were equal concerns around the content and the communication.
And moving on quickly as well, I just want to talk briefly about the Treaty Principles Bill that your party has agreed to support to the Select Committee stage. Why was that an agreement that you're willing to make?
Oh, I'm not going to discuss conversations that were had in coalition agreements.
But now that agreement has been reached and you've formed the government, it is going to go to the select committee stage. So I'm just wondering what the thinking behind that and why you agreed on that in the first place after your leader said that he wouldn't support a referendum. Why support it to the select committee stage?
So again, I won't be discussing conversations that were held in coalition agreements, but what you have heard the Prime Minister say is that we will support it to select committee.
Do you believe that if it gets past that stage into a legally binding referendum that it would be helpful to both Māori and Pākehā in New Zealand?
That's for discussions in select committee where New Zealanders will be able to contribute and form a view.
I guess the kind of crux of all this is there's been significant fears raised that this coalition government will mean an erosion of policies that have been introduced to help aid Māori development and partnership between Māori and government. Are these concerns valid? And is the National Party committed to upholding Te Tiriti o Waitangi and obligations under that?
Last year or the year before, we placed the Treaty of Waitangi back into the constitution of the National Party, and I am excited and have complete confidence in the new Minister for Māori Economic Development, the MP for Hamilton West, Tama Potaka.
And I just want to move on to some follow-up questions from last week's interview. We spoke about repealing the smoke-free legislation. Leader of the House and Senior Minister Chris Bishop made the claim on Q&A with Jack Tame that there would have been only one store in the entirety of Northland that would have been able to sell tobacco under Labor's smoke-free plans. This is a claim that's been refuted. So for the sake of clarification, I was wondering if that number is true and how many stores would there actually be that would have been able to sell tobacco products in Northland?
So the Prime Minister has already discussed this and discussed it yesterday, maybe even the day before, but I believe yesterday, and is already on record saying that number is not correct unless you're considering that in any one town that there might be one outlet, for example, One Tree Point, Ruakaka, Mangawhai, or have one outlet, in which case the statements made are true. But actually, there is a wider number across Northland.
So were they referencing one town, or were they talking about the entirety of Northland? I'm just confused on that point.
Look, that's not for me to say, because they weren't my words, but the Prime Minister clarified this yesterday, saying that in the context of if there is one retail outlet in one town, that these issues can arise, but in fact that there are many more across Northland.
While he was also on the show, Chris Bishop kind of touched on some of the work that you've been doing to change regulations around vaping. So I was just interested in, I guess, a few more details about that and what the plans are going forward to help better regulate vaping in Aotearoa.
So at this point, that's a discussion better held with the Associate Minister for Health, Casey Costello, who has that delegation.
That was Health Minister Dr. Shane Retty.
That was National Party MP Dr. Shane Retty. You're listening to The Wire on 95BFM. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.